Second Peter, please. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. First three verses in chapter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. Thank you for, Lord, what you've done for us in leaving that wonderful, precious Word with us, Lord. And thank you for the privilege of gathering together tonight to study your Word. Pray again for Enos. God, help him tonight meet every need of his life. And Lord, help this preacher. I need you tonight, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The subject we're going to be dealing with tonight is a very, very serious subject, although I do not probably think that we in America probably give as much attention to it as we probably should. I think it's maybe preached from time to time, but I don't think it's really dealt with in a way probably that it should be dealt with, and we're talking about the subject of false prophets. The Bible talks about false prophets, and we're going to look at that tonight. Was always among the people, but he says also there'll be false teachers among you. When he said that, he meant us. He meant our generation. He meant the churches of America. There's false teachers all over, and we've got to be very careful about the Word of God and what we do with the Bible, the Word of God. He said that in verse number 1 of chapter 2. He had just finished chapter 1 dealing with the subject of the inspiration or the scriptures or the prophecy came as the men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit of God. He dealt with the perfect Word of God, the truth of the Word of God. And we know, I mean, we have an understanding of that. We know that the Bible is God's Word. Now, you're a Christian, you know that. I'm not saying this smart-aleckly, but if you don't know that, you've got some problems, real difficult problems, because this is the Bible. This is God's Word, and He's left it for us, and we know it is His Word. We know that, and we know that how it came to us, that men was moved by the Holy Spirit of God to pin down what God told them to pin down. It is God's Word. There's no doubt about that. Amen. You can trust the Bible. You'll hear your preacher once in a while on Sunday morning. We'll talk about the B-I-B-L-E and all that, and I'll tell the young people, you trust the Bible. You believe the Bible. For the rest of your life, you believe the Bible. Don't ever let anybody tell you it isn't God's Word. Amen. Now, I don't really think that you're going to do that. I don't believe you are. But I want to continually impress that upon your heart. It is the Bible. It is God's Word. You believe it. You trust it. Amen. I read a story just this week, and I truthfully can't remember where it came from, but I read something. I read a lot of different things. But he was talking about this young man that he knew that had went off to Bible college. He said he was a brilliant young man, a good man. He went away from Bible college, on to Bible college, studied the Bible, and came out of there just fine. Went on to a seminary, I can't, they're about the same. But anyway, went off to a seminary and began to study, and he got under some teachers that were absolutely was teaching contrary to the Bible, the Word of God, and he absolutely came to the place where he even began to deny that the Bible was true. Now, more than likely, this young man was never been saved. I'm sure of that he'd never been saved, went out and began to live. He said he was a brilliant young man, brilliant, came out of a wonderful Christian family. It is so important that we get our children in the right places to teach and to hear the Word of God. You see, it is important where you send your children. Now, I'm saying this kindly. You ought not to put your children and raise your children up and send them off to an ungodly college. You just turn them over to the devil. You should not do that. Now, you say, Brother Ross, I know that some people has made it through college. Yes, they have. By the grace of God, I say they have, and thank God they made it through those colleges. I'm not picking on that as an essence, but I'm saying, don't do that to your children. Put your children where they'll be taught on up through the Bible, the Word of God, no matter where they go. If they're in college, take them, get them to a place where they'll be taught the Word of God. Amen? A place where they believe the Bible is the Word of God. Now, I know there's people who's went to regular colleges and secular colleges. They've come out. They've helped their faith. They've done all right. I understand that. But it's not a good process. It's not a good thing to do. You need to keep them where they'll hear the Bible, the Word of God, under people who's teaching them that the Bible is God's Word. So we have false prophets, we have false teachers. What I'm going to do, first of all, I want to go back to the Old Testament for a little while, to the book of Jeremiah. I chose the book of Jeremiah because Jeremiah has so much to say about false prophets. And I'm going to read some verses. And in fact, tonight we'll be going to a lot of different verses, a lot of different portions of Scripture. And just remember, this is Wednesday night Bible study. All right, so we'll be going to the Scriptures and we'll be looking at them and reading them. But I want you to understand what God thought about false prophets. This is important. Chapter 23 of Jeremiah. And I'll just start reading at verse number 10. I'll skip a few verses here and there, but I'll tell you that when I do. Verse 10, chapter 23 of the book of Jeremiah. For the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. Listen what he says. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. I mean, right in his own house has he found the wickedness of profane prophets and priests. Wherefore, their ways shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein, for I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. Now, as we go through these verses of Scriptures, you'll notice that the prophets, these false prophets, they bring error into the congregation of the people of Israel. Well, that same thing happens in the congregation of churches. And we say, well, people ought to know better. Yes, they ought to know. Yes, they ought to know better. To some degree, they should know better. But let me say to you, people are sheep, and they do follow. And it's so important that we make sure that the Bible is taught, the Word of God is taught, because they'll bring error to the people, okay? Now he says in verse 14, I've seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets. Behold, I will feed them with woodworm and make them drunk, the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth unto all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. Now, I'm going to stop reading there simply because of sake of time, but you could go on down through and read the whole chapter of chapter 23 of Jeremiah, and you'll find him dealing with the subject of false prophets and what it does to the people and what he thinks about them. You must understand that anything that is taught that's contrary to his word is very serious with God. I want to show you over in chapter 14 of Jeremiah. Chapter 14, we'll read just one verse over there. 14, verse 14. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught and the deceit of their hearts. Go with me back to chapter 5. Of Jeremiah, verse 31, the very last verse in the chapter. Chapter 5. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? Once again, he talks about the prophets who are prophesying falsely. And you can just find this throughout all the book of Jeremiah, not only Jeremiah, but you find this through many of the books of the Bible. You go back to Deuteronomy, and he has a lot to say about false prophets in the book of Deuteronomy. He warns against them. And again, I'm saying, well, if it was that important back in those days, how God made much to do about this, he carries that same thought over into the New Testament. And that's what he's saying here to them in the New Testament. But these were false prophets also among there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. And he's telling us here and warning us that this is not just an Old Testament thing. He said they were amongst the people. And I believe he's talking about the Old Testament people. But he says that's the prophets. But now he says there'll be false teachers among you, amongst us. There's going to be false teachers. We have to be very careful about that. We have to watch for that and be careful when we're taught the Word of God, what the Bible truly says, and make sure it is being taught as God's Word. It's very, very important that we do this, especially in the subject, we'll deal with this, but especially in the subject of salvation. I don't mean that that's just by itself that we oughtn't to be care about anything else, but you have to be careful about salvation. We'll deal with that in just a little while. How is people saved? How are they born into God's family? It's very, very important. How are they kept saved? By the grace of God, they're kept saved. But you see, many are teaching different things than that. And we have to be very, very careful about that. And we have to look at it as God looks at it. You see, we don't make so much to do about it. But and I'll talk about that in a moment. But God does. And we should. That's very serious. Very serious business. All right, we want to go over to 1 Timothy, please, in the New Testament, of course. First Timothy, the 4th chapter, and again, I want to look at a few verses here. In 4th chapter, verses 1, he says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressively that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil." If you notice here, he talks about the doctrines of devil, of the devil. Doctrine is very, very important. It's important that you have your doctrine down right, that you believe right. That is very, very important. And he talks here about the doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats. Does that bring to your attention anything when you hear that there's those who forbid to marry and command not to eat meats? Does that bring to your attention any group of people? It ought to. The Catholic Church does not allow their priests to marry. They forbid them to marry. And they also have certain days they have to eat fish on, things like that. Listen to me about just a moment. You may be a vegetarian, but be a vegetarian because you just like being a vegetarian, not because it's your religious right. If you want to eat vegetables, eat them. I'm going to eat meat. Amen. I'm just saying that, you know. But if you wish to eat them because you believe it might even help you have better health, that's fine with you. Whatever you want to do, but don't do it because of the Bible. Amen. So you it's very important, you see, that God didn't command us not to. In fact, he said all of those things were good for us, and it was given to us to bless us and to be used of us. God wants us to do those things. You know, but if you don't want to eat meat, that's fine. Don't eat it. But don't do it because you say the Bible. Amen? So I'm just simply bringing that in because God says there'll be in those days those who command, he says, not to eat meats and who will forbid them to marry. Well, no, that's not true. You see, and we've done a little bit of a series here some time back on the Catholic doctrine. And if you was here, you found out that the Catholic doctrine, most of the Catholic doctrine, is absolutely contrary to the Bible. And when I said that, I'm not trying to run down the Catholic people. I'm running down those who teach it, and the teachings of the Catholic Church is wrong. I'd like to see the Catholic people get right and just believe the Bible. I'm not against them. I'm not down on them. I'm just simply saying we need to be sure that the doctrine is true, that it's Bible doctrine. Now, if you go with me over to the book of Matthew, please. 7th chapter of the book of Matthew. Verse 15. This is Jesus speaking, and I want you to listen to what he says. It's very, very serious. He says in verse 15, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves." He says, beware of them. Keep your eyes open. Watch for them. Because it's very, very serious. You know why? Because they're going to come to you in sheep's clothing. They're going to look like sheep. They're going to have sheep clothing on. They're going to be probably nice. Amen? But inside they're raging wolves, is what Jesus said. Why? Basically because they're teaching unscriptural doctrine. It's basically because of their teaching, as we'll look here and see. He says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? He said, even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. I want to stop there just a moment. When he talked about ye shall know them by their fruits, I want us to remember and be careful that we don't use this verse of Scripture to say and look at and say, well, I can look at a Christian knowing by his fruits. That is not what God is saying here. He's talking about false prophets. That's what he's talking about here. Okay? I'm not saying to you that we should not be able to see fruit in a Christian's life, but there's not a Christian on the face of this earth that sometime in his life we wouldn't look at him and say, that's poor fruit. I've never met any yet. I'm just simply saying to you, it's not, God does not want us to judge an individual because he may not be doing everything that we think they should do. That's not what he's given us a right to do here. But he is giving us a right to judge false prophets. That is our right to do that, and we should do that. And once again, I just threw that in there because I think it's very important. You've got to be careful. We've got to be careful about how we look at an individual and say, because they are not doing this or that, most of it comes down to what do they believe? What does an individual believe? What do you believe about Jesus Christ? And certainly that should be backed up. You hear your preacher talk about this all the time. I believe in all my heart that when we believe, we truly believe, there's going to be some changes and difference in our life. They're going to be there. They're going to be manifested. But it's not by those outward conduct things that determines whether we are a Christian or not. It's whether we believed. Do you believe that? How do you get saved? You get saved by believing, okay? Now, I'm just simply saying to you, though, beware of false prophets. He's dealing here with the subject because what is happening is they're bringing forth the wrong kind of fruit. They're a tree that is not bringing forth good fruit. You wouldn't go out and get a fig off of a thistle tree or off of a thorn tree. You wouldn't do that, you see. Now he says, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now listen to what he says. But not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have ye not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And he's still dealing with those who had prophesied. They said, we prophesied in your name. We done miracles. We done wonderful things in your name. He said, I never knew you. And it basically is going to go back into what do they teach? What do they teach about Jesus Christ? I want to tell you, if you want to know the difference, if you want to know the ones that are true and the ones that are false, you listen very, very carefully what they teach about Jesus Christ. Who is he? What has he done? Is he truly God? Is he truly the Son of God? Did he truly die for the sins of men? Was he truly buried? Did he truly resurrect? Is he truly sitting at the right hand of the Father? Who is Jesus Christ? That's where you're going to find the truth of an individual, is what do they say about Jesus Christ? And of course, about his word. People who do not believe the word of God are not going to believe all they say about Jesus Christ either. So I'm saying to you, be very careful, because they're deceivers. A man in Michigan told me he believed in Jesus Christ, and because of that he was saved. But when I questioned him about what he believed about Jesus Christ, he did not believe that Jesus was God. He said, the Bible says if I put my faith in Jesus Christ, I'm saved. And I said, well, you're putting your faith in the wrong Jesus. You're not putting your faith in the Jesus of the Bible. Which tell you, you tell me all you want to about your faith is in Jesus, but if it's not in the Jesus of the Bible, it's not the right place. See, Jesus of the Bible was virgin born. Amen. And he was perfect, and he died on a cross, and he was resurrected, and all those wonderful truths. You see, he's the Jesus of the Bible. So I'm simply saying, we got to make sure what they are teaching, what they are telling us. Now, over in the book of Acts, the 20th chapter, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer, to feed the church of God which he had purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men rise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Now if you notice here, he said after he was going to leave, there'll be grievous wolves come in, wolves in sheep's clothing. And he says, because of that, you've got to be very careful. You've got to watch. And he said, I warned you. For the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And he said, now, and listen to what he says to do. He says, now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. What is he saying to us there? He's saying, stick with the Bible. Stick with the word. Amen. The word of his grace will protect you from all of this. There's a great problem. Let me say to you, there's a great problem in churches in America. I'm serious about this, folks. It's so important that our people, our individual people, become strong in the Word, that you know the Word of God. It's so important because, listen, I've seen congregation after congregation, a good man of God leave that congregation, and it wasn't very long after that. They're being taught false things, and they do nothing about it. They just take it. You need to know what the Bible says. You need to be built up in the grace of his word. You need to know what is true. Amen. So you'll be able to spot people who's going to teach you wrong, you see. So again, he's just telling us there that we've just got to be careful, because why? These grievous wolves are all around. They are there. And they want to sneak in, they want to look like sheep, and they want to sneak in and bring what a wolf would bring to you. They want to bring false doctrine to you. And you can't let them do that. Amen? Because they are everywhere. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just saying they are there. And you got to make sure that they don't get a hold of the teaching positions in teaching false things to our people. All right. And then also, of course, what he tells us back, and I'll go back again to 1st and 2nd Peter, he says, who false teachers among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. The word privately there speaks of present or near at hand, or something that comes in almost like a sneaky way, that comes in and does so underhanded. Do you know that your false prophets are not going to come in and say, I'm a false prophet? Well, they're just not going to do it. They're going to come in and sneak in. They're going to go around throughout the congregation and try to win people over to themselves. Watch someone that sneaks through the congregation and tries to gain extra love of the people to them instead of Jesus.
Right.
Be careful of them.
Right.
Watch them. Keep an eye on them. Amen. So he's telling us that we have to be very, very careful because he says, because they will bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Over in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, let's turn there. We are told there, and I think that it's probably the best statement, maybe the best statement on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Then I want to take us over to Galatians, so if you want to try to find that now, it'd be good. But in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and I'm just going to read verse 3 and 4, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now, these destructible heresies that he's talking about back there in 2 Peter certainly deals with the terrible destructive heresies of teachings that are contrary to the true salvation of a soul. How to be saved. You have to be very, very careful about that. And I'll give you a little bit of illustration here in a minute. But over in Galatians, and I want to then slip over there to Galatians, the first chapter of Galatians, I want you to listen to Paul. Galatians, the first chapter, the sixth verse, Paul said this, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." Now, what he said to them, he says, I am amazed that you're so soon removed from the true gospel. And if you notice there, he talked about in verse number 6, that who called you into the grace of Christ. It's the gospel of grace. We're saved by grace. We're not saved any other way. And you know, today, if the Apostle Paul was here today, and around even this community here, he would just simply rise up and, I believe, go out and be just hammering down doors almost by saying to these churches that are teaching things against the grace of God. Now, we don't do much about it. We don't say much. We may say something in our own congregation, but we meet people on the street and we teach them that they're all right. I mean, we just treat them like they're just fine brethren. I want to tell you something. Baptism does not save you and never will.
That's right.
And that's a damnable doctrine.
Yes, sir.
That's a damnable heresy. And you know what we do? We just kind of, oh, well, you know, they just kind of believe that baptism is a part of your salvation. It is not. And we just kind of let that thing go. That's a damnable doctrine that you can add anything to your salvation of by grace. That's wrong. Absolutely wrong. And we also, and I don't think that all Pentecostals do believe that you have to speak in tongues to be saved. Some of them certainly do. I don't know if all of them do. I don't think they all do. They don't think that you have the Holy Spirit if you don't. And that is a damnable doctrine. Holy Spirit of God is given unto us. When you're saved, your Holy Spirit of God comes into you to live forever and be with you. But let me say to you, some teach that you're not even saved unless you have spoken in tongues. Now let me say something to you. That's a damnable doctrine because you're adding works to salvation. And it's how soon they've been removed from the grace of God, from the doctrine of the grace of Christ, you see, because that's how we're saved. You see, by God's grace, you see. Another one is that you can lose your salvation. Now, we just kind of flip around on this thing. We just think, oh, well, they think you can lose. That's a damnable doctrine. That's a horrible doctrine to be taught, that a man can lose his salvation. That says Jesus can't keep you. Jesus don't have the power to keep you. That's a horrible heresy. You know what? We just kind of let it go along. I mean, I'm not saying we can go out and stop it, but even in the presence of some of those people, when they talk about it, we ought to rise up. Say, now, wait a minute. That's not true. Absolutely not true. See, that's a damnable doctrine being taught. Shame on anybody but teach his congregation that you can lose your salvation. You cannot lose your salvation if you're truly saved. Amen. If you're truly saved, if there's been a time when you've truly been born again, you're always his. Amen. Always are, you see. And baptism didn't save you. It was by the grace of God that you got saved. Baptism, wonderful thing. Amen. But baptism didn't save you. It didn't wash away your sin. See, so I'm simply saying to you, I think we need to get serious about this thing and realize those are serious things. Those are false doctrines. Those are damnable heresies, you see, that is going wrong. Now, he says back in 2 Peter, and he says at the end of verse number 1, and denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Talks about there that there'll be those that do not believe that it's the blood of Jesus Christ that paid the penalty for their sin and bought their salvation. There was a man I remember years ago that over at Anaconda Luna Company, soon after I'd been saved, had been saved not too lengthy a period of time, and we got to talking because he said he was saved, said he'd done some lay speaking out in different places, and so we was talking one day, and we got to talking about the blood of Christ, how it washed away our sins, and he said, the blood there is just speaking about the death of Christ, that he died, and he denied that the blood of Christ washed away sin. I said to myself, I'm an early young Christian. I don't know anything, but I want to tell you, Holy Spirit of God said that's not true. I didn't know anything. I'm dumb as a box of rocks, still am. But I didn't know anything, but I'm smart enough. I'm smart enough to know that the blood of Jesus washes away my sin. I'm smart enough to know that, you see. And so I say to you, you've got to be careful. Them kind of folk are out there, and they're nice. And this guy was a nice fellow. Just a nice fellow. Amen. Just smile and just nice. Amen. We never, yeah. But I'm just simply saying to you, they deny that it was Jesus, you see, that paid the cost and that brought us, brought our salvation. You know as well as I do, you wouldn't be saved today if it wasn't for Jesus dying on the cross and shedding his blood for us. You wouldn't be saved. I wouldn't be saved. We all know that, you see, if we're wise enough to know that, you see. And then, of course, the results that happened because of that, he says, if you notice at the end of that, brought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. They're going to suffer swift destruction. Now, to you and I, I don't know that we would maybe consider it swift. We would want it the next day. And then we'd say, that's swift. But it's coming. And really, when it's talking about bringing upon themselves swift destruction. It's coming. I mean, destruction. It is coming. And so that's one of the results. They have swift destruction brought to them. Another one is this in verse number 2. He says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. Folks, the tragedy of this thing is that there's multitudes and multitudes that are following them. See, that's the tragedy of it. I can't remember, maybe it was in Sunday school. I might have mentioned that about the Jim Jones and his followers. We talked about that. I think it was Sunday school. Can't remember. But anyway, we talked about Jim Jones. 900 people over there that followed him and did what he did, and they died with poison Kool-Aid or whatever it was. But they followed him. They believed in him. And multitudes today are following these damnable doctrines. And heresies, you see, multitudes are following them. And that's one of the results. That's one of the tragedies of this. Many, he said, shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And that's the third thing. It'll cause the way of truth to be evil spoken of. Folks, listen, you know it, you hear it. You hear how people talk about Christianity because of some of the people who claim to be Christian. You take some of these cults that go around, they claim to be Christian. When you see all these tragedies and some of the things that they're doing, and even when we talk about, it talks about the covetousness there, I worry about these people on TV that's begging for money and all of this, and it's all they care about. They want money. It's covetousness, the reason they're doing this. And when you check out some of their lives, and let me say, certainly not all that's on TV, okay? So I don't think I'm saying everybody, but I'm saying many of these, when you check out their lives, they live in great mansions. That's not right. Okay, what anybody says? That's not right. And what they do is they do that as the scripture says, with feigned words. Through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. He said with feigned words, they have the ability to put forth words, enticements, and they do it for the reason of covetousness. They want your money. And let me say to you, there's multitudes there around. I can honestly say, you can say whatever you want, but this preacher, you've never heard this preacher get up and keep begging you and begging you to put more money in the offering. I tell you our needs, I tell you should give, but I don't sit around and beg you to put it. If I have to beg you, forget it. Because I'll tell you where giving comes from, right here. If a heart is right with God, you are not going to have to worry about giving. When a man gets a man, he gets his pocketbook too. And get quiet, don't it? I don't worry about that. I'm simply saying to you, when a person accepts Christ as their Savior and Christ gets that person, you're not going to have to worry about their giving. If they truly believe, if they truly sold out to the Lord, you're not going to have to worry about that. I can't make them give anyway. I'd hate to have to stand up here all the time making people give or trying to make them give. But I will tell you the needs of the church. That's right. That's proper for me to do that. That's what a pastor does. Tells you the needs and what we need to do and all those things. But folks, it has to come from here. You see. But they do this for the purpose of covetousness. Now, he even talked about they make merchandise of you. In other words, you're just a piece of meat to them. You're just a product, merchandise to them. That's all they care, as long as they can get you and your things. That's what they're out after. So we find that God gives us a warning about false prophets. He tells us that we need to watch for them. Keep an eye out. Can I say something to you? Listen to me. It's not only the preacher ought to watch. I do my best to watch. I really do. But you know what? I don't want you to be to the place where you think, well, everywhere I look, there's a false prophet. I don't want you to. But I want you to listen with ears of discernment. It's right that you listen with ears of discernment. That someone would be teaching something or putting something throughout the congregation that's unscriptural. That's what I'm talking about. Against the Word of God. You see, I need deacons that has some discernment. Keep their ears open. There's schism that goes on in churches. I believe deacons can be a real help in helping us with the schisms that go on. Not let them go on. Stop them immediately. Because you know why? This fellow will be probably the last one that gets to ever hear it. Then it's, I won't say it's too late, but it's way down the road time I hear it. But you can help me. And you can help your church not allow schisms to begin to build in the church. Not just deacons. You can help do that. You can put a stop to that. Amen? So teaching is to be watched very carefully. The results of their teaching is a tragedy. It's terrible. What can happen to a group of people, you see, are taught false doctrine. The motive of their teaching is they want to make you a piece of merchandise where they can get what you've got. But the danger of false teachings is simply this. There's an eternity waiting, and I would hate to have to face Jesus Christ having taught against the wonderful plan of salvation and how a person was saved. Oh, I wouldn't want to face Jesus Christ with that. And I know you wouldn't either. But you be careful. You watch for it. These are damnable doctrines that does not bring us to Jesus Christ by His grace. That's how you get to Christ, by the wonderful grace of God. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank You today for Your goodness and Your kindness. Thank You for who You are and how great and wonderful You are. And I thank You, Father, again tonight for the wonderful plan of salvation. Oh, God, how You provided salvation for us. And God, just help us to be attentive. God, help us to be alert, Father, to the false teachings, false doctrines. Lord, help us. Lord, we need Your help. We need Your discernment. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.